Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 5, Text 19, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Navayjano jatu katanchana vrajain mukunda sevyanyavadanga sangsmritim smaran mukundangri upaguhanang puna vihata michendarasakraho janaha. Translation. My dear Vyas, this is Narad speaking to Vyas. My dear Vyas, even though a devotee of Lord Krishna sometimes falls down somehow or other, he certainly does not undergo material existence like others, fruitive workers, etc. Because a person who has once relished the taste of the lotus feet of the Lord can do nothing but remember that ecstasy again and again. Purport. A devotee of the Lord automatically becomes uninterested in the enchantment of material existence because he is rasagraha, or one who has tasted the sweetness of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. There are certainly many instances where devotees of the Lord have fallen down due to uncongenial association, just like fruitive workers who are always prone to degradation. But even though he falls down, a devotee is never to be considered the same as a fallen karmi. A karmi suffers the result of his own fruitive reactions, whereas a devotee is reformed by chastisement directed by the Lord himself. The sufferings of an orphan and the sufferings of a beloved child of a king are not one and the same. An orphan is really poor because he has no one to take care of him, but a beloved son of a rich man, although he appears to be on the same level as the orphan, is always under the vigilance of his capable father. A devotee of the Lord, due to wrong association, sometimes imitates the fruitive workers. The fruitive workers want to lord it over the material world. Similarly, a neophyte devotee foolishly thinks of accumulating some material power in exchange for devotional service. Such foolish devotees are sometimes put into difficulty by the Lord himself. As a special favor, he may remove all material paraphernalia. By such action, the bewildered devotee is forsaken by all friends and relatives, and so he comes to his senses again by the mercy of the Lord and is set right to execute his devotional service. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is also said that such fallen devotees are given a chance to take birth in a family of highly qualified brahmanas or in a rich mercantile family. A devotee in such a position is not as fortunate as one who is chastised by the Lord and put into a position seemingly of helplessness. The devotee who becomes helpless by the will of the Lord is more fortunate than those who are born in good families. The fallen devotees born in a good family may forget the lotus feet of the Lord because they are less fortunate. But the devotee who is put into a forlorn condition is more fortunate because he swiftly returns to the lotus feet of the Lord, thinking himself helpless all around. Pure devotional service is so spiritually relishable that a devotee becomes automatically uninterested in material enjoyment. That is the sign of perfection in progressive devotional service. A pure devotee continuously remembers the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna and does not forget him even for a moment, not even in exchange for all the opulence of the three worlds. Navayjano jatu katanchana, Navayjano jatu katanchana vrajin, Mukunda sevyanyavadanga sangsmritim. Smaran mukundangri upaguhanang puna vihata michinna rasa graho janaha. My dear Vyas, even though a devotee of Lord Krishna sometimes falls down somehow or other, he certainly does not undergo material existence like others, fruitive workers, etc. Because a person who has once relished the taste of the lotus feet of the Lord can do nothing but remember that ecstasy again and again. This is a very beautiful verse, very encouraging for those of us who have taken to the path of devotional service, in which there are many tests, many obstacles, there may be many disappointments. At the same time, we shouldn't think that, well, here it's stated that someone who takes a devotional service, they will come back and they will become Krishna conscious ultimately. So why bother to take it seriously? That's a misunderstanding. I'll get around to discussing that point a little later. In general, I want to take up the theme in this talk of hope followed by disappointment followed by hope. From hope to disappointment and back. We see that generally children are born with hope. If they have loving parents, which at least used to be the norm, they feel protected by them. The general tendency is for a child is to be happy. And we see that with dogs and cats also. The puppies, they play with each other. They seem to, in general, they have a happy attitude. Here in India, there are literally millions of street dogs. The British used to call them pariah dogs. And you see the dogs when they're puppies, they play. Even when they're a little older, often in the morning you see in the fields, the dogs are just running around and playing with each other. Dogs love to play. But then the street dogs, when they get older, they also suffer birth, death, old age and disease. So when they get older, their hairs fall out, they become diseased, they're just getting ready to die. It's a very miserable condition. So we're born in hope and we die in despair, disappointment, disillusion. And that's one reason why we forget our previous lives, because we have the illusion of wanting, we have the desire to be happy. We have the illusion that we'll be happy in this world. To nourish that illusion, we get born again and again and again, because as we go on in life, we find that our hopes tend to be shattered again and again and again. Now, we have taken to spiritual life with great hope. But when we find everything in this world is hopeless, then we take to spiritual life. Some people criticize that. They say that, well, belief in God or taking to spiritual life is like a crutch. Well, we can accept that criticism in as much as not exactly a crutch. A crutch is to help us in a crippled condition, but spiritual life is meant to help us get beyond all crippled positions. But we accept, yeah, if you want to say that, well, we're struggling and we accept it as a psychological crutch, well, we'll accept that. That a crutch is real. Well, you may say, well, if you're healthy, you don't need a crutch. But we say that, well, material life is not healthy. It's an unhealthy condition. Everyone is struggling. People have hope and their hopes are destroyed. People have hope that they'll be successful in this world. And most of them, they don't succeed to the level they'd want to. Or even if they do succeed, they find they're not happy. We put hopes in politicians, not much nowadays, but it used to be. We put hope in the whole society, and then the whole society fails, the whole societal struggle. There may be economic downturn, there may be pandemic, and all the hopes we have, we find we're frustrated at every step. And in general, the hope of being happy in this world is frustrated, and we find that more and more as we go on. The innocence of childhood is lost. Of course, some children are so unfortunate, they may grow up in a situation, in a war situation, where they, for instance, where they don't grow up innocent. In growing up in a ghetto, being innocent is a disqualification. You have to be growing up in New York City. One qualification, you have to be street wise from the beginning of your life. Otherwise, you're in trouble. But in general, we start with hope and we become disappointed. But that happens in spiritual life also. This verse that we read from Bhagavatam talks about those who take to Krishna consciousness and they go away again. Now, in material life, we go from hope to disappointment, and then we get born again, and then we get hope, and then we go to disappointment, and it goes on like this, life after life. In spiritual life, there can be something like that cycle, and even within one lifetime also. It may be that someone is feeling hopeful and then disappointed, and then they again become hopeful. There's a famous story, it may be a legend, it may be a fact, of one Scottish king, I believe his name was Robert the Bruce, famous in Scottish history, who went to fight the English with great hope of victory, no doubt, but he was defeated and he had run away and was hiding in a cave for fear that the English would arrest him and kill him. And he was feeling totally discouraged, that all his hopes were shattered. And then he saw a spider within the cave trying to climb up and was falling down, but he kept on trying and then eventually was successful. So he took hope from that, took courage, went back, rearmed and conquered his enemy. So this is used by our most merciful Srila Prabhupada as an analogy to illustrate the saying that failure is the pillar of success. The only problem is that in material life you have to die, so whatever success you get is all finished. Parabhavastavada bhudajata. If we don't use human life to inquire into the what is that verse? Parabhavastavada bhudajata yavanna jigyasata atmatattvam. As long as we do not inquire into the nature of the self, of our spiritual self, then we are defeated in material existence again and again and again. But in spiritual life there is hope, that this is something higher principle. We start with great hope and we may become disappointed. Why do people go away from spiritual life, from Krishna consciousness? This verse discusses how we go away, how some people go away from Krishna consciousness. Or we may not go away, but we may become discouraged. There may be various reasons for that we become discouraged. We find it too hard. The regimen is too hard, having to get up early every morning, having to follow so many different rules, no meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, restricted, no food which is not offered to Krishna, very restricted diet. There's so many restrictions. We may find, well, I don't want to do that, and go away. That means we're not very serious about spiritual life. Or one common thing is we may find that the persons we place great hope in to be our spiritual guides, we see they're not so good after all. And for me, this was apart from the philosophical deficiencies of Christianity as I was taught it in my childhood, that was also a major factor in my losing faith in Christianity as I was taught it. When I saw that the parish priest was a chain smoker, and those teachers at our nominally or officially Catholic school, those who claim to be Catholics or good Christians, their character defects were quite obvious. So that I said, well, what's the point of calling yourself a Christian if you should be of a better character than others? If you're going to believe in God, you should be godly. And believe it or not, folks, it happens within our International Society for Krishna Consciousness also, and it's actually a common syndrome that people join or they take to Krishna consciousness and they expect that those who they entrust their spiritual lives to act on a superlative platform, but then they may detect desires to exploit others, dishonesty, or even gross misbehavior. So that's why people who take to Krishna consciousness, they may go away again. And people, someone may say, well, if Krishna consciousness is so good, then why would anyone go away? Well, it's Maya, we can say, the influence of Maya, the illusory energy. When anyone takes to spiritual life, then Maya goes into overdrive, the illusory energy of the Lord, which keeps us in material existence. Yaya samo hito jiva, atmanam trigunatmakam, paropi manute nartam. I can't remember the verse exactly, but the point is that the illusory energy of the Lord is that by which we consider ourselves to be part of the material energy, but we're not. So in general, everyone is covered by this. No one thinks I'm not part of the material energy. They never heard any such idea in their life. So at that time, Maya, the illusory energy, is working by her avaranatmika vritti, her propensity, her covering potency. We're simply covered in illusion. When we try to get free from that covering of Maya, to go beyond the illusory energy, then she comes with her prakshepatmika vritti, for throwing us back. Just like there may be prisoners who escape from prison, if they're caught and thrown back. But here, Krishna says, actually Narada, the representative of Krishna, says that, don't worry, anyone who started seriously in spiritual life, in Krishna consciousness, they will come back again. Krishna will look after them. So that gives us hope. But then we may fall again. This can be our existence. It's eventually we'll go to Krishna. But how long will it take? How many lifetimes will it take? How many lifetimes have we been in this material world? Just try to imagine how many atoms are there in the universe. It's not possible for us to imagine. It's not even possible for us to imagine how many atoms are in this miserable body that we're presently inhabiting. We've had more births in this material world than there are atoms in the universe. How long do we want to go on for? Our attitude should be yugayatam nameshena chakrusha pravrishayatam shunyayatam jagat sarvam govinda virahena me. Even a moment of being separate from Krishna, we should feel it to be like a 12 years or a huge expanse of time. We find that even in material existence, if we are doing something that we enjoy, time goes quickly. If we're doing something we don't like, time goes slowly. Time is going on at the same speed, but psychologically, we feel like that. So we should feel that even a moment, we should feel, if we're actually in Krishna consciousness, this is the level we're aiming for, that being separated from Krishna is like a long, slow torture. Like being burned on a fire that's made from, burned to death on a fire made from rice bran, which burns very slowly. That's an example of tushanala, the burning on a slow fire, slowly burning to death. So if we don't take, as long as we're not in Krishna consciousness, there's always, fully in Krishna consciousness, there's always the risk of falling back down. And it can be like a pendulum. We're in, we're out, we're in, we're out, we're in, we're out. back and forth. It could go on for millions of births. So how do we get out of this pendulum? Well, we should resolve now to do whatever is required in this life to not come back to this material world, to go to Krishna, as Krishna tells us in Bhagavad Gita, Janma Karma Chame Divyam Evang Yoveti Tatvataha Tyagva Dehang Punar Janma Naiti Mameti Sorjuna. Krishna tells Arjuna that anyone who knows, who understands that Krishna's appearance in this world and his activities are completely transcendental, just by understanding that, by understanding that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's not an ordinary person. If we fully understand this, then we won't get born again in this material world. We'll go to Krishna. We'll remain in the spiritual world. And of course, to understand that, then we have to understand so many things, not least that we have to surrender to Krishna. We have to identify ourselves as his servant only. In this regard, Lord Krishna teaches further, Labdva sudurlabhamidang bahusambhavante manusham artadama nityam apihadhira turnam yatetadapatetanamrityayava nisrayasaya vishayakalu saravata syat. Krishna says, now you have attained the rare human form of life. It is attained after many, many lifetimes. Having attained this opportunity, which is only in human life, for self-realization, for Krishna consciousness, one should be intelligent enough to utilize it properly so that one does not get born again. Do not get involved in the sense gratificatory activities that are available in every species of life. Utilize this human life to become fully Krishna consciousness and go back to Godhead in this life. So, if you're feeling disappointed in spiritual life, take courage. Don't be discouraged because of what others are doing. Perhaps, if you're feeling discouraged because some people have done things they shouldn't have done, or they are doing things which they shouldn't do, don't be discouraged. Your relationship with Krishna is there. That whatever anyone does, however anyone misbehaves or mistreats you, or whatever the situation is, you are an eternal servant of Krishna. We're all eternal servants of Krishna. We all have our eternal relationship with him. And the process of bhakti yoga will bring us to Krishna, and no one can stop that. If we're determined to practice Krishna consciousness, we can do so in any circumstance. That's called a haituki bhakti. It's our Krishna consciousness is not conditioned by any conditions. We should know that people may have misbehaved, they are misbehaving. In future also it will happen. Does that mean that always, when in every lifetime we go away and we're disappointed, and then again we take to it, and then again we go away and we never reach the goal? Maybe some people are doing things they shouldn't have done, or they're failing to do things they should have done. We become disappointed. But we should make our determination, our resolution, to do whatever is required to go back home, back to the lotus feet of Krishna in this very life. Now we have this precious gift of Krishna consciousness, so valuable. We should not let anyone, we shouldn't be intimidated or discouraged by anyone to let this precious jewel slip away from us. Whatever the circumstances may be, hold on tight. Holding on for dear life. This is more important to us than it is our life. There is no real life without Krishna consciousness. It's meaningless. It's a death-like condition. So we should hold on to our Krishna consciousness. It may be what others are doing. It may be simply our own mind. It's like in material existence, we find people, they have enough food, enough clothing, they have friends, they have everything you might think will make them happy, and they're miserable. Sometimes people commit suicide. We're surprised. They seem to be happy. They have everything. And they commit suicide because internally they're miserable. So it may be that that there's nothing really wrong, but it's just in our mind. And it may be, or that there is something wrong, and always there'll be something wrong in this world. But our mind tricks us into thinking that it's much worse than it actually is. So don't be discouraged from doing whatever we should do, whatever other people are doing. We should continue with our resolution to do whatever we have to do to be Krishna conscious. And it may be difficult in some circumstances. For instance, it may be a woman who wants to be Krishna conscious, in Krishna consciousness, and her husband, if she tries to chant Hare Krishna, the husband beats her. That's quite possible. There are such instances, not very common, but it may happen. Then what to do? You have to see how much you can hold on to Krishna. You can hold on fully if you want under any circumstances, but somehow or other, if we want to be Krishna conscious, Krishna will help us. And we have to pray to Krishna. Anything which discourages us from being Krishna conscious, which means as far as possible to associate with devotees, to see devotees, even though we may see so many faults, but to see the Krishna consciousness of them, to see the good side of them. Just like I'll tell you one anecdote, which I heard many years ago, not confirmed, that once in India, two of Srila Prabhupada's disciples were physically fighting with each other. And an Indian gentleman came to Srila Prabhupada and he was shocked and he said, "Your disciples are fighting." And Prabhupada said, "You're surprised that they are fighting. I'm surprised that they're chanting Hare Krishna." So the fighting is not good. But the fact is, when they stop fighting, they'll go on chanting Hare Krishna. If they go on fighting, they won't go to Krishna. They have to overcome that low tendency. But the fact that they're chanting Hare Krishna means they're very special people. So we should see that, even if we see that, well, actually they're pretenders and this and that. But it's not that every devotee in the world is a pretender. We can find someone, or even if they are, then you don't be. You hold on to Krishna. Anything which discourages us from fully surrendering to Krishna is simply maya. It's simply an illusion which we can overcome. Even reality can be maya. Reality can be illusion. How is that possible? Well, the reality may be that people in the name of Krishna consciousness are exploiting others. That may be the reality. But it's an illusion to respond to that by thinking that, well, Krishna consciousness is all wrong, or that I should leave Krishna consciousness, or Krishna consciousness doesn't work. That is the illusion. So concentration on the reality of all the things that are wrong or that are being done wrong in the name of Krishna consciousness, that is also a kind of illusion. Not that we live in a dream world, but at the same time, we shouldn't be fixated on things which are not going to help us in Krishna consciousness. The wrong behavior of Vaishnavas is maya for them, and is maya for us also. If we become absorbed in thinking of all the things that they're doing wrong, to the extent that instead of cultivating a sense of love of Krishna, more we're cultivating a sense of distrust or even hatred toward people who are trying to become Krishna conscious. So even if whatever causes us to slacken our Krishna consciousness, or if we become preoccupied with things which are not the essence of Krishna consciousness, whatever that is wrong on our part. We have to become attached to Krishna. If we become attached or attracted to anything else, that's maya. Instead of becoming attracted to hearing about the name, form, quality, and pastimes of Krishna, if we become attracted to hearing about, oh, this one did that wrong, that one did this, did that wrong, there's something wrong with us. That is maya. It may be reality, But it's also reality that what's going on in the world at the present time. There's a standoff, a military clash between China and India. If we become preoccupied with thinking about that and not serving Krishna, then that's Maya. It's reality, but it's Maya. Ritertam napratiyeta napratiyeta chatmani yadvidyad atmano mayang yathabhasho yathatamaha. Whatever we conceive of as being separate from Krishna, that is illusion. It may be, it may have some reality, just like a reflection within some light within, a little flash of light within the darkness has reality, but we want the full light, not the flashes of light. We want. So Krishna is, what's Krishna doing right now? Krishna's dancing. Krishna's dancing with the gopis. He's calling us to dance with him. We can go. We should go. Why do we not go? Because we're attached to everything in this world. Whatever we have to do to join Krishna's dance, we should go. Let's go. Let's go. But we're disappointed. Oh, I don't believe in that. Or I can't believe. I'm too fallen. I'm too sinful. I can't reach Krishna. We discourage ourselves. That's another kind of Maya. We don't have faith that if we're sincere, if we try, Krishna will help us. We may fall, slip back many times, but Krishna will continue to help us. What is the secret to break out of this cycle of hope and disappointment? Hope and disappointment. What's the secret? Then we have to come to the platform. Actually, what is it that rockets us out of the material atmosphere and into the spiritual atmosphere? What is it? What's the secret? It's an open secret. It's called Anyabhilashita Shunyam Jnanakamadhyanavritam Anukulyena Krishnanushilanam Bhakti Rutama. Pure devotional service to Krishna is that executed without any other desire. If we go away from Krishna consciousness for whatever reason, or if we slacken our practices, that means we're indulging in Maya. There are only two things. There's Krishna and Maya. Actually, Maya is also a reflection. It's not separate from Krishna. Just as darkness, in one sense, is not separate from light, because darkness simply means absence of light. The natural condition is light. In this material world, we think that we need a sun to light up everything, because this is the world of darkness. We think the natural condition is dark and we need light to illuminate the darkness. So we may think that, well, light, the concept of light is dependent on the concept of absence of light, but actually it's around the other way. Light is reality. Tamasi ma jyotir gamaya. Come out of the darkness, come to the light. Asato ma sad gamaya. Come out of the unreal, come to the real. So reality is that we're all meant for pure devotional service to Krishna. We're all meant for dancing with Krishna. We're all meant to love Krishna as his servants. And the key to that is executing devotional service only for the pleasure of Krishna. What does Krishna want me to do? Krishna wants, I'm feeling discouraged. I don't feel like dancing and kirtan. Dance! Anyway, dance. Krishna wants me to dance. It's not whether I feel or I don't feel. You dance as a service because Krishna wants. I'm only going to do what Krishna wants me to do. That's all. That's the key to break from the cycle of hope and disappointment, followed by hope. Actually, disappointment comes first in this material world. That's the basic principle. Well, disappointment follows hope. So come out of it. Go on with faith. We have to remain at the lotus feet of Krishna by chanting his holy names, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And having a clear goal in our lives that I only want to serve Krishna without any personal desires. And the desires will come and harass us again and again and again. But we have to say no. Karmadinam, I've had so many material desires since time immemorial. Now I'm leaving them behind. It's hard, I don't know how, but I'm calling out to Krishna. Hey, Gopijana Vallabha, you pick me up. Hare Krishna.